Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. In honor of the reading of the gospel, I'm going to ask you to please stand if you can. May the word of God fall afresh on your ears this day. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" And the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. As we journey through Lent together, what we hear on Sunday mornings will come directly from the devotional, the Lenten devotional that we have. So, in a sense, you're participating in that devotional just by being here. So if you haven't gotten your devotional yet, please do so. It's really a wonderful piece of work. If you notice on the cover, you may be curious about who are these Irish Jesuits? Why did she pick something like that? That doesn't sound very Methodist or very Wesleyan. These Irish Jesuits were influenced by Saint Ignatius. Saint Ignatius struggled with his own sin. He was a soldier. He loved women a lot, often. And he was injured at one point. And during his convalescence, he was being drawn closer and closer to God, and it transformed his life. And what he began to practice and to write about was practical Christianity. That's what's so precious and wonderful about Saint Ignatius, but also these monasteries that follow his pathway of practice. So what you find in this devotional, what I love so much about it, it is what it is stretching you on and what it is leading you to think about is quite practical, all right, and very, very spiritual all at the same time. So if that gives you a little bit of background about the devotional and who the Irish Jesuits are. And if you are interested in learning more, you can always Google them if you like to learn more or about St. Ignatius. and his life story as well. The thing about Lent, it's kind of when we as the body of Christ go down into the valley. We reach that pinnacle of Jesus' birth, Jesus' come, and bam, we're already back in the valley, right? As we journey with Jesus again to the cross, and we think, why do we have to do this every single year? Why do we make this journey every year? One of the reasons is, the scripture says, we are a stubborn and stiff-necked, forgetful people because we forget. And it doesn't take as long to forget. On a daily basis, we forget who we are. We forget our identity. We forget that we are in the presence of God. We forget. We just get caught up. We live in this world that is loud and chaotic, and we just get caught up and swept up in it. And we forget. So every year, we take the journey. Every year, just like the seasons are going to change, we know that they're going to change. We are going to walk through spring, summer, fall, winter. We know that we are going to journey through Advent and the coming of Christ, and we are going to journey with Jesus to the cross every single year, like clockwork. So here we are, the first week of Lent. And the scripture from Matthew chapter 4 deals with Jesus' temptation. This is something that we all deal with on a daily basis. Let's be honest, on an hourly basis. Minute by minute, we are dealing with temptations all the time. Sometimes we don't even realize that it's a temptation. And we don't realize that these temptations are, we are making decision. Sometimes it's really apparent, right? Temptations. Because the world, somewhat on a morality basis, tells you what's wrong or right. The world tells us illegal drugs are bad. But still, we have many people who will get addicted to them because there's a great temptation to them. They're addictive. They'll make you feel good. They'll make help you forget your problems for a little while, but they'll also cause more problems. You know, we fall into temptation because sometimes we get lost in what truth is. For example, take the word love. The word love has many definitions. From the love we have for our children, to the romantic love we feel when we're dating, the love we have for our parents, the love we have for certain kind of foods, like Mexican food. You know, they're all different. But then there's these unhealthy, twisted kind of loves that we'll fall into that aren't good for us. We feel like we have this aching need because we're all designed for love. But we're all designed for a healthy kind of love. But somehow along the way, we get hurt and we get broken. And we don't know exactly what it is we're looking for. But we know that it's love. And oftentimes the world defines love in a sick, twisted kind of way. And we fall into that. Sometimes we fall into temptation, and by just telling God no, we get this little nudge, this still small voice tells us, you know what? Shut off that television. Shut off that computer. Close that book. Turn off that radio and spend just a few minutes with me. And we'll just turn up the dial and we'll ignore it. We'll ignore God. And we'll shut off that still small voice. Sometimes that still small voice will tell us, you know what? This little idea, send a card to so-and-so. Pick up the phone and dial. And we don't. And we just, that still small voice, we just say, nope. And we go off about into our busy world. Sometimes we fall in temptation and we don't even know it. We buy things, we purchase things. We don't even think about where it came from, whether it was made by a sweat camp or whether the people got fair wages or what we're buying is doing to that community. We have no idea and we don't even care. We don't even think about it. Temptation lies all around us, and we sin all the time and don't even know it. And then we'll believe we can do it on our own, which is the biggest sin of all. I make enough money. I've got this under control. I can be all things to all people. And somehow we'll become our own God. Or sometimes we feel so broken down that we need a Savior so bad, we'll look to anyone but God. We'll find that man or that woman who thinks that will take care of us, and we will believe all the things that they say. The next thing you know, you are in the worst relationship of your life, and you have no idea how to get out. I find it interesting in today's scripture, when Satan appears to Christ, he appears to Jesus in one of his weakest moments. He is starving. Now, most of us don't know what it means to starve. We don't know what it means to go hungry for 40 days and 40 nights. Some of us won't even sacrifice for 12 hours. Right? We have no idea how hungry Jesus felt. I want you to imagine going without food for at least 3 days. Not 40, just 3. And think about how bad you want it. How bad it would be. Now, some of you know what it means to go into the hospital to have surgery or whatever, and they don't let you have food for a while, and then they bring you that tray with that awful broth and the popsicle and the Jell-O, and it's like the best meal you've ever had in your life because you haven't eaten. And any other time, you would not touch that food. Jesus has been without for 40 days and 40 nights. And the tempter comes to him and says, "You're the Son of God. You can just have some bread if you want bread. Go ahead and break your fast. Go ahead. What's going to happen? Nothing. You get to smell that warm bread. That brings back memories, doesn't it? Brings back memories of my grandmother's house. Go ahead, have that bread. Jesus fights it by quoting scripture. You shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And then what is really interesting is the devil says, "I can play that game." I want you to hear this loud and clear. The devil quotes scripture. The devil knows scripture better than you do. The devil says, "I can play that game. How about this one?" We fall into these traps and we believe all these kinds of lies when we are broken. Talk about truth and discernment. In order to really understand who God is for us, we have to really understand who we are in our weakness and in our brokenness, in our short-sightedness. And in that, understand what is true and not. What is true and what isn't. And sometimes that is very, very hard in this world. Because this world's made out of material things. I know that there is a table here. I can know that it is true because I can feel it. I know that you guys are here. At least I hope you're here. Otherwise, I'm in the funny farm somewhere. Right? What is truth? Because we'll believe all kinds of lies in our brokenness. We'll hear the voices saying, "You're not worth anything." Or we'll hear voices that tell us, "We couldn't do this without you." Truth is, yes, they could. You're not the only person that could do that. Either we hear, we get the sensation of grandeur and pride that fill us up, or we'll be over here saying, I am absolutely worthless. How could anybody love me? My abusive dad was right. I'll never amount to anything. You see, when God doesn't say either one of those things about anybody, what is truth? Where is your identity through this gamut of what the world says you are and what your value is compared to what God is saying to you? Truth, we're all broken. Truth, we all make mistakes. We make mistakes knowing it, blatantly, not knowing it, oblivious. But we're making them every single day. Every day. We need a Savior. There's some people out there that know they need a Savior. They just don't know where to find one. But you guys know. But do you know how deep your need goes? To understand what real love is. Sometimes we just like to take shortcuts and go, oh yes, I know Jesus. I know he died for my sins. I can quote John 3:16. But has it changed your life? Are you relying on the power of the Holy Spirit to help you understand true discernment? Are you working on that relationship on a daily basis? Because if you aren't, that truth hasn't hit home yet. The devil tried to push Jesus to a shortcut. You see, through Jesus' suffering, and it was massive suffering and death, Jesus redeemed the world. But the devil says, you know, Jesus, you know what's coming. Why don't you skip all that? You bow down to me, and I'll give it all to you. I'll surrender it. You can have it. All you have to do is lower your head and take a bow, and I'll give it to you. You can skip all this death and suffering. You'll get exactly what you want. But life's not that easy. We don't get to skip the hard stuff. We don't get to skip the pain and suffering. We still have to walk through it. We still have to walk through the valleys of the shadow of death and start climbing with all our might and all our strength to reach the pinnacles. But the beauty of it is we don't have to do it alone. We have a God who understands what temptation is. We have a God who understands how finite and muddled our brains are and how broken we are. We have a God that is yearning, that has placed a value on you. You're not worthless, and you're not everything. Sliced bread and the butter, right? But you are worth so much that God placed the value of Jesus on you. Every single one of you here, every person out there has the value of Jesus placed on them. That's truth. Now, through this world, that truth and discernment has to find its way from up here into here, all the way down where it absorbs into our gut, into our bones, where it is burning in us, so that it changes us and transforms us and moves us forward, that even when we go through the valleys and we are working so hard all the way back up to the pinnacle, we do it with a sense of joy. We do it with a sense of peace. We do it with comfort, knowing that the Spirit of God is walking with us, walking ahead of us, beside us, behind us, within us. God doesn't protect us from everything. That's truth too. But we have no idea what God has protected us from. What evils were tracking us down. And God put a hedge all around us. We have no idea what we should be grateful for. That's truth. God also tells us that we should not live in a state of fear. That we rise up with courage that God instills in us by the power of Holy Spirit, knowing who we are. That we do not fear the evil of this world and we do not fear death. Because God put value on us and will raise us to eternal life. It's absolutely amazing. Things to think about as we move forward toward Lent. Our identity, who we are, and who compared to what the world says we are. And as we move towards Holy Communion, we continue to remember Christ's presence among his disciples. That last meal before Christ's crucifixion. His death is imminent. It is coming. I wonder, does he think back on that fateful day as he's eating with his disciples? That day Satan asked him, hey, if you just bow down to me, I'll give it all to you. I'll step aside. You can have it all. Knowing what he was journeying to. But he didn't dwell on it too long, if he did at all, because there was a moment at the table when Jesus took the bread. He blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this as often as you come together in remembrance. Remember. In remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks and blessed it and gave it to his disciples. And he said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. You know, usually the disciples had no idea what was going on. They probably wondered what those words meant. There goes Jesus again, saying things that we don't fully understand. And we on the other side of the crucifixion and the resurrection, we still struggle with complete understanding. And sometimes we just have to sit and be comfortable with holy mystery of who God is and God's great love. Let us pray.